Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Thank you for letting me speak to you this morning. A few weeks ago, I was sitting listening to the book of Esther on the Bible app when I had a text from Neil asking if I would speak. And as I thought about my answer to the question, these three phrases came into my mind. You are significant. You have a purpose. You can be life-giving. Let me say that again. You are significant. You have a purpose. You can be life-giving. Many of you know the story of Esther. She was a young Jewish orphan girl in a strange country who, because of her looks, was chosen to be queen of all Persia. No one knew she was a Jew, but when the Jewish people were threatened with being wiped out by a law that the king had signed, she chose to put her life on the line and reveal who she was in an attempt to save her people. Where did Queen Esther's significance, purpose, and ability to be life-giving come from? Well, I have with me today, like an object, a paintbrush. Nothing special really, piece of wood with some hair on the end. And I must admit, I quite like painting and I can do quite a decent job. But I know that in the hands of a master painter, maybe you know some local artists that are pretty good with a paintbrush, or someone like Michelangelo, this paintbrush can create something beautiful. I've also got with me a pencil and a ruler. Very simple. Now, I love to watch programs like Your Home Made Perfect, where a designer comes in and designs a perfect home for a couple who've been arguing for years about how they should best make their home look. And these designers come in and they change the home not only to something that the owners could never have imagined, but it's something that is perfect for them. I also have got a video camera. Now, we all know that Stephen Lawrence is great with a video camera. My video making skills are fun, but not very professional. If you want your wedding videoed, then you wouldn't ask me. But filmmakers can capture and create incredible films using just a camera. So why am I talking about paintbrushes, rulers, and cameras? Well, a couple of weeks ago, Neil asked the question, can God use me? It's like a paintbrush asking a painter, can you use me? Or an architect asking a ruler and pencil, can you use me? Or a video person asking the video camera. These are just normal tools. And it's not because the tools are any different, it's whose hands the tools are actually in that makes the difference. We are the paintbrushes, we are the rulers and the pencils, we are the cameras. And if we try to do it on our own, it might turn out all right, or it might look awful. But in the hands of the Master, God, the creator of all things, it reaches its full potential. The paintbrush is brilliant. It has everything it needs to do the job. It's correctly made. It's not like the person who made the paintbrush thought to themselves, I want to make a ruler, and it was a paintbrush that they made. No. The paintbrush has got everything it needs. It's correctly made. And you are not a mistake. God didn't try to make something else and you were the result. No, he made you because that is who he wanted. Philippians 2 verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So the first thing I want to talk about is you are significant. Your significance is simply in God. You will never find significance by doing something. You will only ever find it by being who God created you to be. You can search for significance your whole life and never find it until you stop and accept yourself for the person God sees, the person God created, the person God loves, the person God can work through. The paintbrush will never become any more than a paintbrush, but when it accepts that it is a paintbrush that is created to paint, and the painter loves it, that the painter can use it, then it has significance. We talked about Esther, who was a refugee, an immigrant, living in a land that was not her own, surrounded by people who despised her because she was a Jew. She was an orphan. She was also a girl, which in those days was little more than property. She didn't choose to live where she lived. She could make no decisions about the places she wanted to visit, about the career she wanted to have, even about the man she wanted to marry. In the world's eyes, she was insignificant, a nobody with no purpose. You know, I wonder how many times we believe that lie, that we are insignificant. We're just living each day, busy with life, trying to be happy, trying to make other people happy. I want to tell you, like Esther, you are significant. In God's hands, Esther was to become a queen. God gave her the qualities she needed in order for her to fulfill her potential. And when she put herself in his hands, she became significant. You know, when you put your faith in him, you can become significant. When she put her faith in him, she became enough. When she took that step of faith, she had everything she needed. And I want you to remind yourself of this every day. Even better, if you can look yourself in the eye, in the mirror, or in your phone, and say these things to yourself. Say, I was created by the King of Kings. I am significant. Because he made me who I am enough. Because of who he is, I have all that I need. You are significant. The second thing I wanted to say was you have a purpose. So how do we know what our purpose is? How do we know we're actually doing the right thing? Well, this might help. First of all, you don't have to worry about your purpose. You see, God says that he has plans for you, and God says that he will bring about his purposes in our lives. So let's stop telling ourselves that we don't have a purpose, because God does have a purpose. And can I tell you as well that your purpose is not your job? You might be a teacher, but that's not your purpose. You might be a police officer, but that's not your purpose. You might be a mum, a pastor, a cleaner, a fisherman, a business owner, but that's not your purpose. And your purpose is actually really simple. One day Jesus was asked by an expert in the law, "What is the greatest commandment?" Now remember, this man was a keeper of the law. It meant that he'd studied the law the whole of his life. He looked at it. It was his job, his purpose, to do the right thing and to make sure everybody else knew what the right thing was, what each act had to be done, how it had to be performed. He spent his life dedicated to studying the law and following its every letter. You know, as a mom, I often get sidetracked into thinking about everything my kids should be doing, what they should be achieving, how they should be behaving, all the things I need to do to make sure that happens. And I think this law expert was thinking the same thing. How can he make people better? How can he fulfill his purpose? Most of you know what Jesus replied, and yet how easy it is for us to forget. This is our simple purpose. Love God and love others. Don't, like me, get so caught up in the daily things that society says we should do that we forget the people we were made to love. We can do this in so many different ways, and our own individual gifts, talents, personalities, our jobs will influence how we do it. We need to stop making excuses that we don't know what our purpose is and simply do what God asks us to do, wherever we find ourselves. Love God and love others. Your purpose is not what you do or how you do it. It's the love that you give when you do it. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, we all know this verse. It says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." Do you want a life full of purpose? Then love others. If you don't, you have nothing. In fact, you sound like a clanging cymbal. Instead of drawing people to God, we end up pushing them away. No one wants to hang out with a clashing cymbal, do they? Well, Esther went from being an orphan girl, a refugee, to being chosen by the king to become the queen of all Persia. She could have found her significance and her purpose in her new role. She could have lived in comfort and luxury. She could have focused on that as her purpose. But God made her queen. So that she could have thought, God made me queen, so that's what I'm going to be. But she was faced with a decision. Was she going to live out her life as a queen and make that her purpose? Or would she choose to love God and love others, to make the ultimate sacrifice of laying down her life to save the lives of her people, most of whom were actually complete strangers to her? You know, we know she chose to step out in faith, to put herself in danger, in order to give others a chance to live. Our significance is found in who God created us to be. Our purpose is simply to love God and love others. But just because it's simple, it doesn't actually mean it's easy. Real love can be tough. In Romans 12, 9:15, it says, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep." That sounds tough. Loving others is tough, and it can be a real challenge. I ask you to speak to yourself about your significance, but now I want you to think about how you can answer these questions honestly. And we need to ask ourselves these questions daily, I think. Questions like, are there any ways that I'm pretending to love others instead of actually loving them? Do I sound like a clanging cymbal? Or are there any areas in my life where I'm being lazy with love? Who am I really putting first? Or do I return curses for curses in any area? Am I critical and harsh with those who don't think like I do? These are questions that we should ask ourselves often. We need to check our attitudes, check our feelings, check our words, check our actions, even give someone maybe close to you permission to tell you when you're clanging. You are significant. You have purpose. The third thing I want to say is, you can be life-giving. You know, every time I see that church statement on our screen, a life-giving church in the heart of the community, it's a challenge. Because when we say church, it's not talking about something else. It's talking about me, and it's talking about you. We could, in fact, rephrase it and say, life-giving Christina at the heart of the community, or life-giving Daniel or Jennifer at the heart of our community. You know, Esther was in a place at the heart of her community. Would she use it for her own gain? Try to hang on to her own life for as long as possible? Or would she choose to be life-giving to those who had no voice, no defense, no choice? Am I choosing to be life-giving, or am I just interested in making sure I'm okay? You know, once Esther knew her significance, God could use her. And once she chose to put herself in God's hands and love others, she fulfilled God's purpose. In knowing her significance and fulfilling God's purpose, she became life-giving. If we're not being life-giving, maybe it's because we haven't realized our significance. A person created by God, a paintbrush in God's hands that can make something beautiful. Or maybe if we're not being life-giving, it's because we're too busy trying to live for our own purposes, for what we can achieve, for what we can get. Maybe we're just trying to fit in with everybody else. We need to instead give our lives to loving God and loving others, really loving them. You know, we all actually give our lives for something. Maybe we're giving it away for position or power or acknowledgement, maybe for comfort and luxury, maybe for health. But none of these things will actually give us joy. None of these things will give us true life. It's only when we give our lives for God that we find true joy. It's only in loving God and others that we find our purpose and reach our full potential. Esther chose sacrifice and service over safety and comfort. Maybe you've never put your life in God's hands. Maybe you've never come to that point of realization that by living for yourself, you actually gain nothing. Maybe you're trying desperately to cling on to life and the best you can be, and you find yourself drained and tired. You know, in Matthew 10:39, it says, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for him, you will find it." I challenge you to choose today to give your life to God, to say, "I'm no longer going to live for myself." Put yourself in God's hands. You are significant. You have a purpose. You can be life-giving. Now, I think often we get intimidated by characters in the Bible and all that they achieve. We look at them as superheroes with special powers that accomplish great things instead of normal, fearful, nothing too special people like you and me. I mean, I'm not a queen like Esther, and I'm not in a position of power. I'm a stay-at-home mum, trying to do my best. What can I really do? Well, can I just look at one other character in the Bible? Joseph. Now, most of you are thinking about Joseph and his coat of technicolor, coat of many colors, aren't you? Because he did some amazing things with his ability to interpret dreams. But I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Joseph the carpenter. The man that in the nativity play, no child wants to be. You know, all his life he served his community making furniture and utensils. He raised a family in a small, unimportant town. His family had a bit of an amazing and rocky start when they had to travel to Bethlehem and then hide out in Egypt. But mostly they lived in Galilee, an unimportant small town. You know, he spent his life teaching his children the ways of the Torah. He led them in the Jewish customs and festivals, including a yearly trip to Jerusalem. Does that sound familiar? He sounds like most of us, doesn't he? Well, just like we can, he chose to put his life into the hands of God. He chose to love others. And you know, he chose to love when others would have condemned. He chose to step up when others would have stepped back. He chose to face hardship when others would have taken the easy way out. Without him, Mary would have been left abandoned and disgraced. Jesus would have grown up without the love, protection, and guidance of a dad. A dad who was prepared to love God and serve God and love those around him. A dad who showed the way to the one who is the way. He taught truth to the one who is the truth. And he helped bring life to the one who is the life. Talk about feeling inadequate. You know, he never even saw what his faithfulness, love, sacrifice, time and effort accomplished. He died before Jesus even started his ministry. You might not feel like you're very important, but don't let that stop you knowing just how significant you are. You were created by the Creator of all things. You might not feel like you've got real purpose, but don't let that stop you doing what you can. God is the master painter. Your life has meaning. He will use you if you let him, even if you can't see it or never even get to see it. Choose each day to walk in obedience to him, to let his power work in you and through you, to love God and others in all you do, and to serve him willingly. Whether you're an Esther or a Joseph, you are significant, you have purpose, you can be life-giving. Earlier I said, maybe you haven't put your life into God's hands. Today, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour, if you've never asked him to come into your life so that you can live a life of significance, of purpose, a life that is full of the greatest life, then please pray with me. Father, I want to thank you that you created me. You created me and I am significant. I want to thank you that you have purposes and plans for my life. And right now, I want to say sorry for trying to do things on my own, for living my own way. And I want to turn from that, and I want to decide today that I am going to live for you. Father, I place my life into your hands. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me so that I could have true life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.